And good morning, everyone, or good evening, or good afternoon. And yes, we are back. Oh, have I got a tale for you. You know, the theme of this show, The Other Side of Midnight, is this time of night, we kind of look at things and we consider things and we talk about things that during daytime, you just kind of say, oh, come on, give me a break. That's not possibly true. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about things that will be a reaction that can't possibly be true. But as you know, I'm an evidence kind of guy, and we've got evidence that, in fact, unfortunately, it is true. Now, as opposed to some other shows where they endlessly talk about the problems, oh my God, fear porn, we're going to talk about some solutions as well tonight, because the only problems that are insoluble are those problems that are not confrontable. And what we're going to do tonight in the next couple hours is to confront an extraordinary problem. Now, you talk about evidence. You probably are wondering, I can judge that from all the emails I got, why we weren't on the air live last night. Well, here's an interesting story, and it kind of fits in with what my guest is going to talk about this morning. We are under attack. I don't know whether the old audience, the new audience, the group together audience is kind of getting that, but from a year ago when we started the show on July 20th of June of, 2015, we won't count the Pluto special. We have been under attack in all forms of ways, electronically, psychologically. There's been sabotage. There's been, just total high strangeness, as Linda Moulton Howe would say. And that culminated last night. I came downstairs about an hour before airtime, as I normally do, and the studio was absolutely pitch dark. And I went, oh. So I go in, trying to figure out what's going on, ran to the garage, flipped circuit breakers. Nothing worked. The circuit breakers were in. There should have been power flowing. The only room in this house, because I'm on the bottom floor of a two-story house overlooking this canyon and these incredible Sandia Mountains, the only room which was devoid of power was this studio. The only room. And I thought, well, maybe it's the rain, and maybe it, you know, kind of soaked in, and it short-circuited. And, well, not true. Because today, when the sun came out, and it went up to almost 100 degrees again, we've had, like, almost 2 weeks now of 100-degree weather. Nothing came back on, like they did at the previous house that we had many years ago. So I am kind of wondering, how can one room in a house, the one room in the house which is dedicated to broadcasting to, by the way, we're in 145 countries tonight. How can that one room be attacked technologically? We're going to talk about that tonight, and as we go through the evening, I'll give you some ideas, and I'll kick them around with my guest. But be under no misimpression. This show, which, by the way, is consistently now, you know, two or three, and sometimes one on TalkStream, beating out George and beating out all the competition. I think TalkStream has something like 2,000, you know, shows as part of their roster. Well, this time of night, we're number one. Isn't that interesting? Now, when we're not number one, it's because the other guys are talking heavy, heavy politics. And heavy politics does not go over well with some people. And with other people, it goes over incredibly well. So, of course, if you want to, you know, get the red meat of bashing Hillary or get the red meat of trashing Trump, I kind of just coined that, trashing Trump. Interesting. That's where they go. But normally, we're either one or two, and that's astonishing considering the fact that we discovered, as part of our transition from dark matter to the new network, AM First Radio, that actually the fix had been in for a year. We had been forbidden to be on TalkStream until we arrived at our new home. Only one of the sabotages we've endured, and we have prevailed. You're on the other side of midnight. When we come back, buckle your seatbelts, because we're going where no one has gone before. Be right back. And we are back on the other side of midnight. This morning is going to be a very strange ride because I didn't kind of finish the story. So I worked all day trying to restore power to the studio, literally by hand. Where's an electrician when you need one? One of our guests had a major meltdown power-wise just a few days ago and had to spend $3,000 in over a weekend to have her electrical reestablished. Now, you may remember that same weekend, KCAA, which is our parent station and the home of the Amherst Radio Network, it had a literal explosion of a 20-ton air conditioner on top of the mall where the studio and facilities and control room are located. And I was also told this afternoon that at both transmitter sites, the AM transmitter and the FM transmitter, the electrical generators were fried. Now, the normal slash rational response is, well, it's high heat, temperatures for a week, 2 weeks, and the equipment just can't stand it. After what happened here last night, I am much less inclined to believe the coincidence theory and more inclined to believe the someone's out to get us theory. Now, it could be in part because we're zooming up the charts in many areas. Affiliates are joining. Many, many more people, almost 130,000 people, have trekked through our website, the other side of midnight.com, since we switched over here on May 10th. Actually, we came over on May 1st, and we had like 13,000, and then we had to dump the program and recycle. So you add the 130 to 13, it's almost 140,000 people in just a few weeks, and it's going up very nicely. Obviously, and I almost never use the word obviously. In fact, when Robin uses it, I chastise her, and I guess I should not, because nothing is obvious. Obviously, in this case, there's something very weird and very strange going on. So, interestingly, synchronistically, we had planned to have Dr. John Hall as my guest tonight to talk about psychotronic weapons and warfare and people who are tagged and pursued and harassed and, in some cases, driven out of their minds by a technology that, A, is not your normal EM technology. We're going to talk about some of the physics behind this, later. But also, it's the people who are targeted. To me, and I've gotten emails over the years of people, because they heard me on Coast, and they reach out for help wherever they hear people that seem to know what they're talking about. The stories they would tell me, given their backgrounds and given who they are currently, kind of made no sense. It's like, why pick on those people? Why not harass Hillary Clinton? Why not harass the President of the United States? Why not harass people who are in positions where they can change society? Which, of course, raises the interesting question that I'm going to get to later in the evening. Is Donald Trump being mind-controlled? Anyway, before we get to that, Dr. John Hall is a medical doctor specializing in anesthesiology, pain management, and regenerative medicine, the latter through advanced stem cell therapy in Texas. He's also the author of Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, and A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. He's been a tireless advocate against non-consensual experimentation on the public. As Dr. Hall explains, knowing the United States government's dismal track record with regard to experimenting on its population without informed consent, the sheer number of people voicing identical complaints of electronic harassment and surveillance had to be explored logically. And that's what we're going to talk about and explore tonight. Dr. Hall, by the way, is a member of the North American Neuromodulation Society, the American Society of Anesthesiologists, and Mind Science Foundation, and boarded by the American Board of Anesthesiology. He's also, we'll get to that other part in a second, because you can go to theothersideofmidnight.com, click on Radio with Pictures, that takes you to tonight's guest page, scroll down, and you'll see his bio there. I guess, John, the key question I need to ask is, If this is all real, we'll get into the substantiating evidence that it is, what the hell is the objective? Why are they picking on people who, from my perception, have literally zero effect on the population other than their friends, their family, and the people who care about them?
Richard, I just want to tell you, it's great to be on. I've been a big fan of yours for years from hearing you on other radio shows. The best explanation for that is if you look back historically, the government has always experimented on the public. There's no legislation against the government experimenting on the public. There's no requirement for informed consent. So you experiment on the people.
Now, hang on. When you say that, you mean explicitly. But isn't it implicit in the First Amendment?
No, absolutely not at all. There, and a lot of people will point to the Nuremberg Code or the Helsinki Accord. Those are actually recommendations. Those are not laws. John Glenn tried to pass legislation through the Congress making informed consent a necessity for any federally funded experimentation, and it was shot down in Congress.
Wait. What happened to the whole story of the Tuskegee Airmen? Not the Tuskegee Airmen, but the experimentation on prisoners in Alabama back during, during World War II.
Yeah, that was the Tuskegee experiment. Then you had the radiation experiments where they floated radioactive clouds over New Mexico and Arizona.
Didn't they also mix it in breakfast cereals?
They did that. They experimented with radiation in prisoners. They experimented with vaccines on retarded children at Willowbrook School. The list goes on. And in Guinea Pigs, my second book, I actually outline that pretty well in several chapters. By the time you get through the third chapter, if you don't see that there's been a lot of non-consensual experimentation done in this country and continues to be done, that's really kind of the whole basis of what we see happening now with directed energy.
One of the key things I want to do, and one of the hallmarks of this show, is that I want to smash and erase forever the dividing line between normal and paranormal. I hate the term paranormal because psychologically and politically what it does is to set up a certain set of criteria and events that are deemed to be outside the realm of science, outside the realm of logical analysis. If we assume that this set of technologies is part of a continuum, are we also assuming that this is official policy by the U.S. government, or are we talking about rogue elements like the CIA ran rampant with MKUltra, which we'll get to later? I have to believe that what's been done has been done sub rosa, and when it comes to light, it's reacted against fiercely up to but not including legislation to make it permanently illegal, and I guess that's where the conversation is joined.
Yeah, this is actually a continuation of MKUltra. As you know, MKUltra kind of semi-culminated with the Church Committee hearings and the Rockefeller Commission.
For those people who haven't followed history, what was MKUltra and what is it?
MKUltra was a group of sub-projects all aimed at actually remotely controlling human beings. And it was very conclusive. There were programs where they evaluated childhood behavior. There were programs where they evaluated different psychoactive drugs on the mind. There were programs where they experimented with implantation and microchipping the brain to control humans that way. It was, as far as from a research point of view, it was very conclusive. Just about everything that had to do with the human mind, they researched. That's continued today with the Brain Initiative that we have now, where they claim they're spending the money to map out the brain for good purposes, maybe possibly, ways to treat Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, but
That all technologies have a good side and a bad side.
That's right.
Guns can protect you against grizzlies. They can also do horrible things that we see now almost every week. Doesn't make guns, bad or evil. It's the people who use them.
And that's actually one of the points I make in my book too. I mean, there's been a lot of money spent on this technology. It does have some good purposes that it could be used for. Unfortunately, in this country, usually the first thing looked at are the military uses.
Yeah, that's true, certainly since the war, World War II. So who were the folks behind MKUltra? And again, this came out during the church hearings, what, in 71, 72?
Yeah, it's been a while back. Ultimately, it was the CIA behind it.
Our favorite agency.
Yeah. Most of the funding was done by the CIA through front companies, and that's actually the knowledge we do have about MKUltra came from the things that they weren't able to shred. As soon as they had the church committee hearings and the Rockefeller Commission, they began to shred most of the documents. What they didn't get to shredding were the financial documents. And we were able to see through Freedom of Information kind of where the money was going, how front companies were invented. Some legitimate universities were actually doing some of the programs, disguising it as legitimate research. But really, when it all said and done, the only thing that stopped was the freedom of information flow. The research itself never did.
When you say the information flow stopped, you mean FOIA no longer is responded to in terms of these questions?
No, not very often. There's been a couple of responses on non-lethal weaponry, but for the most part, they stop responding to any of the requests for information on research.
When you say they stop responding, how do they stop? Because usually I've seen FOIA requests returned with 99% of it blacked out, but they do respond. They just don't respond with anything that's useful.
Well, that's exactly it. It just don't respond with anything useful or just tell you that there's no information that can be made available to
you. Or that you use the wrong search terms. Try again.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful ruse. So, okay, when did they graduate? And we're talking about, CIA now. Are there any other agencies that you've tracked down? And again, the cliche, follow the money, seems to be the key here.
Yeah, actually, the DOD and the NSA, all of the agencies seem to be somewhat involved. One of the last things that was released was the addendum on non-lethal weaponry. That was actually research that was done by the Army, where they mentioned just about all of the non-lethal weapons or directed energy type weapons, voice to skull, laser, millimeter wave, microwave hearing, pretty much all of it's mentioned in there. And then the Freedom of Information finally does stop after that. But that document came out in the 90s. The research, most of it was done 70s and 80s, and it was called the Addendum to the Bioeffects of Non-Lethal Weaponry.
So in terms of warfare, morally it seems moving to non-lethal means of stopping your opponent is ethical, it's moral, it's the right thing to do. Again, like every technology, it has a double-edged sword, because if you can stop an enemy, you can also, change his mind?
Well, that's exactly it. And actually, Vladimir Putin came out a couple of years ago at a meeting, and he did mention the term psychotronic weaponry, and his exact words were, whichever country can have the best psychotronic weaponry, meaning weaponry designed to actually interact with the human nervous system, would control the globe without bullets or missiles.
Hmm. Well, sounds kind of like Putin's in normal, rare form. Okay, so they moved from drugs, LSD. Remember the guy that walked out of the 20th floor or something because he was on LSD back in the 60s or was it 70s?
Yeah, that was Frank Olson. Yeah.
Okay. When did they get into the electronic area?
At the same time. Actually, that was one sub-project of the research where they were using scopolamine and LSD, things like that, to try to open up the mind for programming. At the same time, they were actually using extremely low-frequency wave exposure. Delgado was using brain implantation, what he called the STIMO receiver. You've probably seen the old videos where he brings a charging bull to a stop by pressing a button.
I've seen the cat ones where they make the cat afraid of a mouse in the same cage, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and he had other unethical experiments where he was implanting gay men to try to cure homosexuality.
Ooh.
And he would implant the gay men and then bring female prostitutes in to try to change their attraction. There were other implantation experiments that were done in California by Jolin West, where they were hoping to stop violent behavior in black urban areas. Delgado actually went as far as to publish a book called Using Brain Implants to Create a Psycho-Civilized Society.
Oh, good God. It sounds like, frontal lobotomies.
Well, you can't make this up. I mean, people were actually researching this with the intent to actually do this to human beings widespread. And this is, we're talking about in the 60s and 70s. Delgado, before he passed away, actually had an interview with a media person where he was asked about his implantation research, and his exact words, and this would have been in 94, 95, was that his work was passé, that implantation was no longer a necessity, that everything he tried to do with implantation could be now done with broadcast.
Okay, here's the $64 question. I was going to save it, but I'll jump in right here. If this stuff works, John, why are we waterboarding?
Well, I mean, I know we're still waterboarding, at least according to what we've been told, but I think they're probably using this as well, because I know who was the leader of Panama, Noriega, after he was apprehended, he actually voiced complaints that he was being targeted with mind-reading technology and hearing voices in his head. One of the earliest complaints actually came in the late 70s, early 80s, out of the prison system in Utah, where three prisoners actually came forward describing at that time what sounds like what we have going on today. They described an electronic presence in the cell they were in that was so overwhelming they couldn't get out of their cots. And one of them even described it as voices in his head that seemed to be responding accurately to his thoughts.
Again, if it's that workable, why are we waterboarding? Why did the CIA engage in something that has now, you know, created such a pushback that even if Trump says he wants to waterboard, society says no way, and the CIA and the military say they would not follow an illegal order. It's now illegal. Again, why go through that charade if you got a technology where you can take a prisoner, put him in Guantanamo, and 3 or 4 weeks later come out with a list of all his contacts, all the stuff that he's doing, the bad people that he knows, and you basically left him totally physically unharmed, but you vacuumed out the crucial stuff you want without even touching him?
Well, I don't think this technology, from what I've seen, keeps you unharmed in the process of doing that, but you know, I'm not so sure they're not doing that. Maybe the waterboarding we see in the media is the red herring.
Oh, okay. So let's go back to Dr. John Hall. You're a very mainstream guy. That crossover between, you know, normal and paranormal, that's what I try to do with the show, make the connections that there's this continuum. You started out, you know, a sterling medical career, anesthesiologist and all that. How the hell did you get onto this topic?
Interesting. Never intended to be the spearhead for it, that's for sure. Had I seen, you know, somebody that I didn't know come into the office at this that was complaining of this, I mean, with my medical training, I probably would have referred them to a psychiatrist as well. So on that side of it, for the physicians that are seeing some of these people, maybe have only seen one person voicing the complaint or one or two over their career, I can understand why they see it as mental illness and send them to psychiatrist. But the person that came to me complaining was actually an ex-fiance of mine.
Oh,
knew
yeah.
her well, knew she wasn't on drugs, knew she didn't have mental illness. She was well into her 30s and came to me with a very interesting story that she was being followed by people she didn't know, which is not unusual. Private investigators do that. But was actually being attacked with weapons she couldn't see, and able to have conversations with the people doing the attacking. Knowing her past.
Wait, when you say conversation, you mean conversation with the people following her or in her head?
In her head.
So she would say, "What the hell are you doing in here? Get out." And they'd say, "Never mind, we're going to continue," that kind of thing.
Exactly. And most of these victims will tell you what happens to them is they get attacked with directed energy type modalities, burning of the genitals, burning on their skin, muscle twitching, sometimes you know, relatively large seizures, and the whole time somebody's in your head saying, "We're going to kill you, we're going to give you cancer, we're burning your chest, we're burning your genitals," that type of thing. So, I mean, it's introduced to the victim where they know very well that they're under some type of attack that essentially they can't prove. So when she came forward with that story, we counter-surveilled her, put counter-surveillance equipment in her condo. Indeed, she was being followed everywhere she went by a former FBI agent that hired nothing but family members and was working as a private investigator, but still had a clearance. So, you know, had access to the technology. As it turns out, after seeing the things she was going through, got her name changed and got her out of the San Antonio area to avoid actual physical rape that was also occurring with her. Went to the police. They had no problem believing me. I actually do medicine for the police department.
They took this seriously.
Yeah, they took this seriously.
That's a first.
That is a first. And actually, the exact words of the lieutenant that was in charge of the sex crimes unit, because she had been physically assaulted and physically raped multiple times.
No, wait, was this by actual guys or was this in her head? Was this part
of? No, this was by actual guys. What they were, interesting thing they were doing with her is they were breaking into her condo, putting Rohypnol, which is a date rape drug, in her bottled water, and then subliminally controlling her to drink the water.
Holy cow. So, now, all right, key question before we go to the break. We have a few seconds here. What did she do to incur this unwanted attention?
Just basically being herself. The group in Texas actually seems to focus mostly on sexual assault, and the female victims here appear to be random.
Golly. Okay, we're on the other side of midnight. Dr. Hall, please stand by. And we're talking about psychotronic attacks, kind of a continuum with the stuff we've been experiencing, although it's not been psychological, it's been physical. You should see the studio tonight. There are heavy industrial cables bringing power in from other parts of the house so I can do this show. One room in this house. Very, very bizarre. You're on the other side of midnight, and we shall return. And welcome back. You're on the other side of midnight. Our temperatures, by the way, Patrick, tonight are kind of cool. It's in the upper 60s, low humidity, no rain, although there were some spectacular thunderstorms over the canyons as I looked out over the westering sun this evening. And I'm in a studio with light. My God, it's such a change from last night. Okay, John, so you took this case to the local police, and wonder of wonders, they took it seriously. What happened next?
Well, they actually, the first thing they checked out was to see if there was any inappropriate video being done. At that time, stalking laws were a little bit different in Texas. There was no way they could go after them for stalking.
By the way, what time frame was this?
This would have been 2000, 2001, 2002.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and actually, my case and one other stalking case is what wound up getting our stalking laws changed. So they went through ICE, which is the Immigration and Customs, who is the people who do investigations as to whether or not rape video or snuff video or anything like that is being put online.
Really? That's a curious diversion.
Yeah, I thought that was curious too, but that is who does that. They found no evidence that any of the rapes were actually being put online. They did agree that, you know, there was a sexual assault case, but the problem was that she was drugged with Rohypnol when the sexual assaults occurred, so she had no memory of the people that were actually doing it. As a matter of fact, kind of what worried me and initially led me to actually do some of this, other than her telling me she was being followed, was when I started getting calls at 3 in the morning and asking if I had been over there, that her doors were opened, and I found her several times under the effects of Rohypnol, which is, as you know, is a memory blocking drug, and it works very well. She didn't even remember letting me in. She didn't remember going to the hospital, didn't remember me bringing her food. I mean, it will block your memory for hours. Although,
and what happens with repeated dosages?
Nothing. I mean, I imagine if with constant abuse, you could probably get you know, problems with it. I mean, there are kids who actually abuse Rohypnol. They call it roofies to get high. But in this case, they were putting it in her bottled water and in her tea bags. So when she would come home from work and start drinking water, essentially she was dosing herself.
Now, this was only discovered as part of the investigation.
Yeah.
Because she had no clue.
No, she. I had started getting calls from her where she was making odd sounds and acting, you know, drunk or out of it. And I would rush down there and a lot of times would would find her in that state. And we had toxicology drawn, and indeed that's what it was. So I finally went through all of her stuff and threw a lot of stuff away. But the problem is the way this type of organized stalking that comes hand in hand with the targeting is done is once they set their sights on a victim, that victim is inundated. It's not one or two people. It's 10 or 20 that work on the victim initially. So as soon as you get bottled water out of the house and find where things have been adulterated, they come right back in and they replace it. They went as far as renting the condos on either side of her to monitor her from.
Oh, my God.
And they would wait until the Rohypnol took effect. She lived alone. And then they would break in and sexually assault her. As a matter of fact, at one point, it appeared to me and to the police that men were paying money to come and rape her once she was drugged with the Rohypnol. The technological part comes in on how they were getting the Rohypnol in her. They were subliminally controlling her to drink more and more water. And I saw this firsthand, was with her one day, and she was on her fifth bottle of water within an hour. And I said, "Man, you must really be thirsty. That's your fifth bottle of water." And she said, "This is my first bottle." And I said, "No, that's your fifth bottle." And she said, "Well," she goes, "you're crazy. This is my first bottle." I showed her the trash can with the empty bottles in it. And she said, "Well, you must have put those there because this is my first bottle of water," as she steadily got more and more drugged.
Now, let me just get this straight for everybody who's kind of rolling their eyes and saying, this cannot go on. She would leave her apartment. They would somehow break in. They would replace her water and other things with their own laced supply that was visually identical. She'd come back and have this compulsion to start drinking the stuff as part of what? I mean, this sounds like no scientific experiment that would yield useful data that you or I have ever heard of.
Well, the experimental part of it is how to control someone. Rohypnol has been used for rape for years, you know, and especially on border states, because it's no longer made for prescription use in the United States, hasn't been for some time. It is only imported online and from across the border for people to use for rape. Xanax in high doses and Ambien in high doses can be used the same way. The experimental part was actually how they were getting her to consume the product. And they weren't replacing entire bottles of water. Rohypnol is odorless and tasteless. So you can add it to the existing products. That's how it's used in a bar for date rape.
But how do you add it to a sealed bottle?
Well, you know, sealed water bottles can be sealed back pretty well. And in the case in her tea bags was pretty ingenious way they had
it. What?
Her tea bag, she drank hot tea. They were cutting the corners off of the tea bags, putting the Rohypnol in with the tea, and then gluing the corner back on.
Oh, my God. Now, look, this sounds to me like an official agency experiment gone wildly wrong with a whole bunch of sadists who basically went private, took this technology, or we'll get into the technology in a minute, and basically were just having fun. Ha, ha, ha.
It's kind of like that. Now, you have to remember how they got their hand slapped initially.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but remember Abu Ghraib? The reason the horrors occurred at Abu Ghraib is because we have sadists who are wonderfully excited about doing this stuff and zero moral compunctions.
Well, that's exactly right. And the reason it's happening the way it's happening now is after getting their hand slapped by the Rockefeller Commission and the Church Committee, they learned a lesson. And what they do now is a lot of this is farmed out to former agents, people who still have a clearance but are now retired from the respective agencies they came from. In most states, this seems to be happening as a result of private investigators who are actually composed. The groups are composed of former FBI, former NSA, or former CIA. So they still have clearance. They still have availability, or independent contractors, which is in abundance now with clearances. So they have access to the technology, but they're not quite under the watchful eye of the agency themselves. And it appears, at least with the group in Texas, that they've been given carte blanche permission to use it however they want to use it, as long as the data gets back to the appropriate agencies on how well it works.
So there's no oversight, no control, no nothing. And why has the Congress ignored this?
Well, I think the congressmen that actually have access to approving some of the black budgets probably know it's going on. I mean, obviously, Denis Kucinich knows it's going on because he tried to actually pass a bill called the Space Preservation Act. And in the original wording of the act, he described these weapons in detail.
Oh, I remember. Yes, he's worked closely with a friend of mine, Carol Rosin.
Well, and then by time the bill actually made it to Congress, all of that terminology had been taken out and the bill was shot down anyway.
Have you tried? Well, that's kind of getting ahead of my story. So please continue.
I think probably your next question is, have I tried talking to any legislators?
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Well, no, I haven't tried him. Now, there was several years ago.
We may be having Bernie on the show. If I get him on the show, would you be willing to come on and directly talk to him? Because your background is impeccable. Credibility in science and politics is everything. And he may not even know this is going on, but if you can present a coherent case, which I'm sure you can, we could make a difference.
Yeah, I would certainly be willing to do that.
Okay.
And in one case, me and a fellow physician who's also in this fight, we did meet with Representative Jim Guest from Missouri, who was a state legislator. We laid out all the information. We laid out the sub-projects of MKUltra, how the research has continued, what the victims are saying, what we're seeing, that this is, you know, overwhelmingly, that we estimate up to about 300,000 people voicing identical complaints. And after meeting with him for a weekend, he did address at least non-consensual implantation in the Missouri legislature and actually passed laws against it. In Texas, after meeting with legislators here, the case that I had with the girl that I wrote my first book about that we're talking about, which is a new breed, satellite terrorism, there was one other case where there was a girl who was stalked here, and she cried out for help, and of course, like all these people, was told, well, you know, you're delusional, it's not really happening, you just think you're being stalked. And her stalkers actually held her at gunpoint, made her write a suicide note, and made her slit her own wrist.
So their experiment was kind of self-terminating.
Yeah, you know, they took her to the hospital. She did survive. She told the police the story. Well, of course, they said, well, you're depressed and, you know, you just can't admit that you tried to take your own life. 3 months later, one of her stalkers shot her 3 times in the parking lot of her work and killed her.
Oh, God.
So
why would they take it that? I mean, to me, if you're doing this and you're experimenting on a population like the CIA did with LSD and some other things, you don't want fingerprints. You don't want the public to know you're doing it. This sounds, again, like rogue elements, wildly out of control. And again, you keep saying she. Are there male victims? But it sounds to me like it's a rape fest using purloin technology with a bunch of guys just having a good old time.
Well, in this group here, that's exactly what it mostly is. And the group here actually hires out corporate espionage as well. But if you look in every major city, as I said, the groups that have access to the technology are allowed to use it carte blanche. So what you see
is... Because there's no legislation, you mean?
Because there's no legislation against it. And really, the agencies that where the technology is coming from, the only thing they're concerned with is data. How well you can control someone, how long it takes to get someone to rock bottom. More importantly, the reason this experimentation is being done for so long is to see what weird cancers and blood diseases are going to be caused in people that are exposed to this heavy of electromagnetic energy for this long.
Okay, hang on. We moved from the chemicals, the rape drugs, into electronics, and I don't want to pass over that because that's a crucial, kind of a rhine. How did we go from chemical to electromagnetic?
Well, that's exactly how you control someone subliminally, and that's exactly how you put the voices in someone's head. It's essentially what the slang term for it is V2K, or what the targets called it. It's voice-to-skull technology, microwave-based hearing, microwave auditory effect. Ultrasonic sound can actually put spoken word through bone. There's several technologies for it. As a matter of fact, one of the technologies is available to civilian use now, which is called Audio Spotlight. And that actually uses ultrasonic sound that you can beam voices into somebody's head from across the room. It's been being done by the CIA for some time now. I know one of my CIA contacts, when I, in writing both books that I talked to, said, oh yeah, we can do that, and we've been doing it for a while. In his exact words, he said it's a weapon of war for use abroad, but it's mostly, you know, I'm sure it's being used as a weapon of war, but it's also being used to experiment on the public.
See, again, if it's effective, and they've been doing this for what, 30, 40 years? It should be. I mean, how long does it take to develop a sophisticated, mature technology? And I won't bring up Robert Heinlein and his three stages tonight, but it seems to me that we're well beyond the need for science here, and we're into basically a free-for-all, almost like, you know, Road Warrior, where you got these wild groups just using it for fun. Ha ha.
Yeah, and that there is some of that, too, and I don't know if you remember the... After Snowden leaked some of his papers, the NSA actually got its hand slapped. There were essentially rogue agents of the NSA that were using the technology to target women they were attracted to, target their ex-wives, target their ex-wives' new boyfriends. And it was so prevalent in the NSA that, you know, HUMINT is human intelligence, SIGINT is signals intelligence. They went as far as to actually give it a pet name, and they called it LoveINT, love intelligence.
Oh, my God, they've got the weirdest sense of humor.
So, I mean, you're right. There are rogue elements that actually have access to it that are probably out on their own. But my guess would be that they're probably being watched as well. So anyone that would have access to
it. Is it possible, John, that it really doesn't work and it only works in these weird situations where you're basically a, you know, some kind of a weird demon-driven sado guy that just gets off on making people really, really feel bad? In other words, there's no redeeming value for the technology because it only can be used for harm, but not to get useful information, a la that versus waterboarding.
Well, I think it can be used to get valid information. I mean, we know that from Noriega and several other leaders that have come forward talking.
Well, wait, Noriega said he heard voices. Did he give information because he was impelled to by the voices?
Well, I mean, indirectly you do, because when you start hearing voices, the human mind wants to respond back. You know how difficult it is to actually control your thoughts. If I start asking you questions, and certainly if I use a device to put questions in your head, you know, as you try your best to not answer them, you end up answering them.
Okay, I want everybody on the planet now listening to us right now, do not think of pink elephants. Damn it. I hear you thinking of pink. Does it work that way?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what it does is it picks up the electrical signals from the auditory cortex and the visual cortex, and then it can actually re-digitalize those back into what you're actually thinking, seeing, or hearing. So essentially, your brain is the camera, the microphone.
Wow. So it's the ultimate invasion.
It's the ultimate invasion and the ultimate crime, eventually, because when this is used on you, there's no tangible evidence. You know, there's no cameras or microphones in the house unless they are adding low technology to it.
Okay, so in terms of your ex-girlfriend, fiancé, who you wrote the book about, you say the local police took it very seriously. They began an investigation. Was anybody ever arrested and brought to trial?
No.
Why?
No, because the stalking laws at that time, you actually had to prove hands-on injury to actually even start a case on stalking or get a restraining order. That has since changed because of these two cases. Basically, what we wound up being told by the police is it's not what you know, it's what you can prove in a court of law. And when you're being harassed by people that are FBI trained, essentially, which the two of the people in this group are former FBI, and these are, by the way, COINTELPRO tactics, the breaking and entering, the drugging, the phone spoofing, where they can actually, you know, send you a text and it looks like it's coming from your wife, but it's really not, you know, that may be vicious. So you respond back to your wife with a vicious attack. She says, I didn't text you. You say, yes, you did. And, you know, that's one of the things they use as well. These are all well-known FBI COINTELPRO tactics that they actually perfected in the 50s and 60s and 70s in infiltrating, like, the Black Panthers.
John. If you've got water bottles that have been physically tampered with, if you've got tea bags sliced apart and then glued back together, isn't that material evidence of something?
That's material evidence, and they accepted that as material evidence. But when you have people that have trained at actually doing this, have government training in doing it, then you don't find anything. As a matter of fact, one of the break-ins in my house, they actually moved a car out of my garage to get to a ladder and break in to get into the attic access in the garage. And the police came out. The first thing they looked at, this is an antique car that's not used very often. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, he goes, we're going to dust for prints, but we're not going to find anything.
This is your friend, the lieutenant?
Yeah. And I said, well, how do you know you're not going to find anything? It's an antique vehicle that I use seldomly. It's a collector's car. And you could see where the side that they pushed on to move the vehicle had been wiped. So part of the car was dust covered.
I was just going to say the dust might have given something away.
No. They actually, where they put hands on the metal to push it back, they actually wiped clean.
Huh. Okay, so that's proof that something was done.
These aren't yahoos or common criminals. These are well-trained individuals.
So you yourself have been targeted because of your taking up the cause?
Yeah, pretty much.
How come you're still with us? I don't want to be crude. I mean, they tried to kill me with a heart attack. And when you said that they would occupy rooms on both sides of your fiance, they did that with me. They literally inhabited the room next door. These were three guys in a beaten-up blue paint truck, which was, you know, just totally, you would never look at them twice in a parking lot. Except these guys sat for 3 days in front of the motel window, glaring, radiating absolute pure. I've never seen people radiate hate as Robin and I came and went. And then on the third night or the third morning, I knew they were in that room, and there was this awful elephant on my chest. And I knew I was being attacked, and I did what Tom Bearden had told me to do. And that's probably why I'm still alive. They used the technology through the wall, John, to try to give me a heart attack and get rid of me. This is 18, 19 years ago. So I know physically from my own experience this kind of thing can be done. And obviously there's no way, you know, that I could trace down who they were or where they were paid or, you know. But they made themselves so obvious before they did it. It's almost like the arrogance of, we're untouchable.
And that's pretty much what they are, because it's so hard to, about the only thing you can work on, if you can get the police involved at the stalking phase, that's the best time to do it, because at least you're dealing with tangible evidence.
How many departments now are kind of up to speed on this?
Not many. I know one of the organizations that I work with is the ISA Act, International Center Against Abuse of Covert Technologies. And we did have actually a meeting with the city council in Richmond, California. And they did pass some legislation where if people are complaining about this to the police, that at least they're pointed our direction or pointed in other human rights organizations' directions rather than giving a 5150 in California, rather than being taken in as a danger to themselves or a danger to others. One other case recently here, I had a victim in Austin, Texas, who actually was having the garage doors going up and down, the light shutting off and on.
That's been happening here.
Yeah, and she called, and having a little bit of some burning on her skin that she could tell was coming from an outside source. And that's the interesting thing. These victims will tell you, they can tell it's coming from somewhere, that it's not any type, it's not physiological, it's not a fungus on your skin or a dermatitis. They can tell it's pulsating and being beamed at them. And she did have a police officer come to her condominium who said, what you're describing sounds like electronic harassment. I don't know what to do to help you, which is really the truth. I mean, your local community law enforcement, they're not going to know enough about this. And even if they do know about it, they're not going to be able to help you.
Okay. If it's electronic harassment, and I want to get into the physics of this, why can't people basically create Faraday cages where they're immune from the electronics? Because you can't get any EM through the right kind of Faraday cage. You can put it in the walls. You can put it in paint. You can basically repaint your house and make it impervious to electromagnetic radiation. Why aren't those countermeasures being taken?
Well, some people are. Now, that, you know, most people can't afford to do that. That's not a cheap thing to do.
And well, paint is.
And it's almost impossible to completely EMF-proof a house. You may put a chamber in your house, mm-hmm. but eventually you've got to leave that chamber. And you got to remember, too, the ultimate goal, it seems like, in this technology is to eventually get you a psychological or psychiatric diagnosis. And when your family members come over to see that you're EMF-proofing your house or building your anechoic suit, you're going to get a fast trip to the psychiatrist who's not going to believe any of it and get your diagnosis.
Okay, so how did this progress? Because obviously now this has become a lifelong work. How did you get to the point where you began to research the modalities of how this can happen?
I knew a little bit about it already just from talking to friends that were in the CIA. Then started doing a little bit more of my own.
You have friends in the CIA?
I have friends in the CIA. Yes, I do.
Have you ever worked for the CIA?
No, I have not.
Okay.
But believe it or not, there are people within some of these agencies and within government that know it's happening and are against it, but are not in a position to come out and necessarily disclose it and actually stay living. So, that's the other fight we're up against. And, you know, Snowden was one of the first, and William Binney, there's been others, John St. Clair Akwe, that have come out of the NSA and exposed this technology, or certainly Snowden exposed the fact that most of these people were complaining of email tampering and phone tampering, and yes, indeed, it turns out that it can be done.
So if this is as widespread as you were telling us, how come we don't have a church committee too?
That's what we're going for, and that's what, at least with my writing and my activism, I'm not real big on actually trying to promote any type of shielding or anything like that. It's not within the cost or the financial ability of most of the victims I've met.
Gives a whole new meaning to the term tinfoil hat, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then you get somebody that's trying to create a tinfoil suit that blocks everything, then you're accelerating their trip to the psychiatrist, which once you're diagnosed with a mental illness, then your life crumbles around you typically. Mm. So at least with most of these victims from what we've seen. So the goal of the activism is to get toward another congressional hearing, and that's going to take an ethical politician in order to push that, or high-dollar people in government actually going door to door and trying to convince this to be put into the Congress, and that takes money, which is another issue. So, to have somebody up there on your behalf actually pushing this into a congressional hearing is expensive, and at this point, we really haven't had anybody ethical come forward to actually kind of take that flame up for us to get it into Congress, despite thousands and thousands of letters to people's individual Congress people.
Okay, hold it there at the top of the hour. Station break, and we'll be right back on the other side of midnight. And I told you we're going places where people don't want to go. Don't go away. And we are back. We only have about 5 minutes here before the break. So is this unique to the United States?
Not at all. There are complaints coming in from just about every country in the world. I've had emails from literally every single country, some of them worse than others. The Arab countries I've had probably the least coming from, although Yemen and several I've had quite a few. But England seems to have about as many victims as we do. Australia, New Zealand, I get a lot of complaints from there. Of course, since I'm United States-based, most people that contact me are from the U.S. And California, interestingly enough, seems to have the most.
Yeah, this was going to be my next question. Then I want to go back to the international. In terms of regional areas or states, you just said California is the top. Does it appear to be clustered? Does it appear to have a pattern in terms of maybe regionally what this experimentation is trying to do?
Yeah, interestingly enough, the three states that are the most heavily hit are California, Florida, California, Florida, Texas, and New York. And interestingly, that's also the four states that seem to be statistically most affected by Morgellons disease.
Oh.
and the state that we see the least.
That's a wild correlation. I was thinking more gallons about 10 minutes ago, and I thought, now that can't be connected.
I was making you think that.
Oh, so you got this little machine there, and
I'm teasing you.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, but as far as the states where we don't see a lot of this, of course, are the states like Idaho, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, and I think that's a reflection of lack of population more than it is just that there are people there being victimized, but not in the numbers we see in the southern states. And of course, a lot of this technology, a lot of the research in this technology is being done in California. So it stands to reason that Californians seem to be the most hit. And a lot of physicians that are dealing with Morgellons think that it's just another sub-project of the same technology we're talking about.
For what possible end? And by the way, you probably have to define Morgellons for folks that aren't following this.
Well, Morgellons disease basically is people complaining of foreign objects or foreign strands or foreign material coming out of their skin or being in their body. And it is being found. It's the people you may see online that are saying that blue fibers are coming out of their skin. And there's plenty of doctors that have removed this material from Morgellons sufferers and sent it to the lab, and it has been determined to not be human. You know, it's not, a lot of times, not organic. It's polymer, it's plastic, it's carbon. Of course, the CDC disagrees with that completely. They say it's psychiatric,
People are psychiatrically extruding blue polymers from their
claiming that it's delusional parasitosis.
Is this Fauci primarily?
Is this what?
Fauci, Dr. Fauci.
No, there's been several others. There was several physicians in Oklahoma and in Texas that were dealing a lot with Morgellons.
No, I'm saying Dr. Fauci at the CDC.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, we're at about 5 after the hour. My guest this morning is Dr. John Hall. We're talking about the unthinkable, which is some kind of systematic mind control experimentation extending to biological experimentation, a.k.a. Morgellons and other things, that all are thought of as beyond the pale, certainly a subject only for the other side of midnight, but they're not. But we'll continue here when we return. Don't go away. All you want to do is use me. And we are back on the other side with my guest this morning, Dr. John Hall. We're discussing something that is so awful, so incredibly dark, that I can only imagine that it has multiple levels, John, and maybe we're talking about elegant misdirection. If this technology over 40 years is actually useful and mature and can be used at will to achieve specific goals, and part of this whole huge targeting of individuals that have nothing in terms of national security, in terms of political, championships or any war horse they're riding, but they're just folks. Is it not possible that maybe that part is all misdirection because the real objective is to create a technology that controls the majority population of the United States seamlessly, invisibly, and other countries, of course, and that in fact, and this is going to scare a lot of people, I'm going to go beyond the edge of the paper, is this why the Trump followers are like almost zombies? It doesn't matter what nonsense he spews. They are loyal. They are attached. They're going to vote for him. It's so freaky to think that this technology could be used on such a mass scale to achieve something crucial in history, and this has all been building up to this.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it certainly can be used to control the masses.
How do we know? What's our data?
Well, I mean, you don't have any data, but you can see how the world is kind of going south pretty fast. And there seems to be a lot of control really on both sides. If you talk about blindly following Trump, there's people blindly following Hillary.
There's all kinds of blind people following.
There's nobody actually seems to be doing any thinking on their own anymore.
Well, some are. Remember, it only takes 2%. So those 2% are listening to us.
Exactly. And those of us being targeted. No, on a similar note, there are theories that the victims that are actually notice they're being victimized, and notice I say they notice they're being victimized. There are theories that everyone is already controllable, and that what we see as victims or targeted individuals are the people who cannot be controlled, that actually hear this rather than hear it subliminally.
Did you ever see that very, very famous movie with the glasses and all? Oh, what's the name of that thing? M, I need you. was it They Live or what? But anyway, it was the idea that you had to wear these glasses. Yeah, They Live. And only then could you tell the aliens, the controlling ETs, from ordinary human beings. In other words, you're proposing maybe that we're already living in a society where this technology is so mature, we don't even know that it's being used on us because it's so invasive and pervasive and invisible.
Well, and that's exactly it. I think it is being used on all of us. And I know the current administration, part of the Brain Initiative that they started was also creating nudge committees.
What kind of committees?
Nudge committees. And these were
nudge stand for?
It stands for just what it means, to nudge. There were groups of psychologists and psychiatrists that were hired, and their sole purpose is to get into social media and try to nudge people's decisions and nudge people's likes and dislikes a certain way to achieve a certain end.
Are we talking Mad Men on steroids?
No, when
I say Mad Men, I mean advertising.
Well, they're being paid by the government to do that. And that came along with the Brain Initiative, and it came along with the attempts at the healthcare policies, and it was all designed to just kind of tweak social media one direction or another, you know, to get the correct following. So, and they've admitted to that. That's not any, you know.
Well, but who's admitted to this?
The State Department.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where? When?
Yeah, in the media. Yeah, if you look up nudge factors, and that was actually with Cass Sunstein. He was one of the people who actually initially worked on that in the Obama administration. So, Cass had kind of a checkered past. I don't know how much reading you've done on some of his history, but you know, he was a eugenicist and was very big into control factors and control technologies. He's no longer in the government, by the way. He was kind of ousted. But
why was he ousted?
Because he was too much of a hot topic. Almost all of his books from the 60s and 70s were eugenics based. So that's why they got rid of him. But yeah.
Well, this came from Sanger and ultimately, what's her name? It came from the Nazis and then through Sanger. Okay.
Yeah, and came from us originally. You know, even the Nazis claimed that they were just, especially with their eugenics, were just following our lead. Because our government had already been, or state governments had already been instituting eugenics programs by state prior to World War II.
Amazing.
So, and that's kind of the point I make in my book is, you know, our government is never the white knight anymore. It's the gray knight at best.
Well, when you say the government, I want to be very clear here. We're not talking the government. We're talking elements and pockets like in a feudal society. And they get away with it because under the rubric of national security, nobody asks any questions.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've been more than willing to give away most of our rights to privacy under the guise of national security.
Okay. Here's a crucial question which goes to the heart of everyone who's listening right now. How is the targeting by these technologies distinguishable from actual mental illness?
And that's a difficult one, because especially as a physician, I'm never gonna say that mental illness doesn't exist and that everyone that complains of this is a target. What I can tell you is that most of the victims that I talk to can identify to the date they noticed that they were being followed and stalked, and that they especially the date that they began to hear voices in their head. Most of them are late 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. They're beyond the age to actually be diagnosed as schizophrenic. In men and women both, schizophrenia is typically diagnosed in men very young, usually 16 to 19.
Really?
In women a little older. So what you're typically seeing is they're getting diagnosed with delusional disorder. And delusional disorder has such an open-ended context that it depends on who you tell the story to. And that's kind of the problem I have with psychiatry in these cases, is I haven't seen one victim yet that has been forced into psychiatry where the psychiatrist is asking them what the voices are saying.
Really?
Yeah. Schizophrenics typically hear the voice of God, angels, telling them they've been chosen. These people are hearing someone describe their whereabouts accurately in a room, you know, what their car looks like, what they're doing, what their plans are, and then actually are telling them what they're doing to their body as far as directed energy attack. So they're telling them, we're attacking your heart, we're going to give you cancer, that type of thing in their head. And the psychiatrist, they only hear voices in the head. They never ask, what are the voices saying? And they never look at any of the research that these victims bring in.
Because they assume they're totally wackos, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, the psychiatric community is financially driven. Most of the residencies are financed by psychiatric drug companies.
I was just going to say, it seems to be driven by big pharma, because I know people that need psychiatric help and all they do is get a pill.
Yeah. And the people who truly need psychiatric help mostly don't have insurance, and it's hard to find a psychiatrist that will take insurance. And the cash prices are way above and beyond actually the people who actually need to get the care. So, I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to say everybody that's hearing voices is a target. There's certainly mental illness out there. But looking at the age ranges, looking at the success of the people that I've dealt with that are targets, most of them are educated. Most of them were functioning successfully up until this day when it all started.
So, John, if this technology, as I'm kind of moving in the direction of, is actually mature, and all the stuff we've been talking about is just noise, kind of disinformation to distract us from the real, awful, present danger, you could use this to basically program shooters, police to kill blacks, blacks to kill cops. In other words, you could create such divisions and such race war by simply using selected mind control on a few people to totally discombobulate society.
Well, it has been used that way. As a matter of fact,
again, evidence.
Yeah, sir. Well, I mean, like I said, the evidence is that, you know, you need tangible evidence to go to court. You know, unless you can put a receiver around somebody's head and monitor the fact that they're not getting background noise being aimed at them, but an actual beam aimed at them would be the only way to do it. But Sirhan, he claimed that he was under mind control with the Robert Kennedy shooting. We've had several mass shooters that have complained of mind control prior to their shootings.
Well, the latest guy in Dallas, you know, who killed, five police officers and wounded nine, he came back from, I think it was Iraq or Afghanistan. He was a sergeant. His parents said he totally changed. And to me, that was kind of like a red flag. You take someone who's in the military, who's used to following orders, and you basically give them some liminal orders from an authority they can't say no to, like Allah, like God, and bingo, you got yourself a hired killer without anybody knowing anything.
No, and they know the technology will work that way. It was actually used in Desert Storm 1.
Really? Again,
yeah,
evidence.
It was a system called Silent Sound Spread Spectrum, or SQUAD.
Boy, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, the evidence is they admitted to using it. So there's
who admitted and where?
The doctor that actually, Dr. Lowry was one of the inventors. I think it was in Newsweek when they were impressed with the fact that they were able to, I think, have 1,500 Iraqi soldiers get down on their knees and surrender their weapons.
Oh, I saw that on live television.
Yeah, to 150 Marines. They didn't have enough slip ties to actually tie them all together. And they did it because they heard Allah tell them to surrender in their head.
Oh, my God.
And as a matter of fact, a similar technology they wanted to use at the Branch Davidian complex with David Koresh. And
which would have saved an awful lot of lives.
Yeah, which was Igor Smirnov's technology at the time, and the Americans didn't have it. The Russians had already started using it to put voices in the head. And the FBI actually met with Smirnov and were making arrangements to use the technology to put the voice of God as Charlton Heston in Koresh's head to try to get him to surrender. But interestingly enough, the Russian programming wouldn't work on the FBI computers at the time. So that was scrapped in favor of just burning the buildings down and shooting.
This sounds like sci-fi to the max. This really is beyond the edge of the paper, John. I mean, come on. This is, again, evidence, evidence, evidence. You have a bunch of links on your bio tonight. Do we have actual documentation of guys who spilled their guts, spilled the beans, turned state's evidence and all that for some of these more out-of-the-box kind of concepts?
No, so far we haven't had anybody come out of any perpetrator groups that are legitimate or you know, would make it past an interview. And that's what it's going to take.
So does that imply that all these agents, all these field agents are under their own mind control so they can never turn state's evidence?
It could be that, or it could be they could be so afraid of actually ending up a targeted individual that keeps them in line.
But there's all kinds of ways to do things anonymously. Even today, you know, thumb drives physically, don't use the net, don't use anything traceable. You know, send documentation to key people, key media, people like you.
Yeah, and I think if we could get somebody to come out like another Edward Snowden, I mean, that was probably the best thing that could have ever happened.
Well, you know my theory about Snowden, don't you? How would you know if you'd never talked before? My theory is that Snowden was deliberately planted for years to do what he did because he had too much help.
Yeah, I think I've heard you mention that on the radio.
And I have some numerical evidence to back that up, which is so out of the box that we're not even going to get into that tonight. But I don't think Snowden just one day said, I can't stand doing this. I think he went in specifically because it's part of a secret program, a counter agents program, to basically blow the doors off some of this. Because he was too successful and he got away. And look where he is tonight.
Yeah, I kind of thought that same thing. I mean, if had that been you or I, we would have been dead.
Oh, my God.
Got it to the media.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I've had the same problems that you've had. I mean, that's after the first book came out. I mean, it wasn't electronic targeting. It was physical targeting. Had the hood latch taken off of the hood of my truck. My hood flew up on me going down the highway. Had bullets fired randomly through my bedroom one night. Had notes left on my house and on my door that, you know, we're watching you and you need to move. And you know, pictures of the triangle with the eye in it to try to scare me. And
I have one of those sitting over by my TV right now.
Yeah. So I've kind of gone through the same thing. As a matter of fact, neither one of my books can be purchased on government computers. They're blacklisted on government computers, which I imagine a lot of your stuff probably is too. But
well, actually, I know that when we tried to go to Lowell Observatory to do a major thing on Mars and all that, at first they wouldn't let me in, and Robin was able to get into the director's office, who, by the way, also the previous director was named Dr. John Hall, director of the Lowell Observatory. When M said that she'd book you, I said, oh, is that John? And then I realized, wait a minute, can't be, because he's no longer with us. Anyway, she went into the office to kind of try to convince the current director to let our camera crew in and let me use the telescope that Lowell had used to look at canals on Mars. And she turned him around, and then she came out and she said, and you'll never guess what I saw on his bookshelf behind his desk, a copy of The Monuments of Mars, my book. So, yes, we're being watched by many levels. And if they're bad guys, John, my feeling also is there has to be a counterforce. There's got to be good guys. The question is, how do we get them to help and expose this kind of stuff?
Well, and that's why ultimately what most of our, at least most of my activism is focused on is just exposing this to the general non-targeted public, or at least we hope they're not targeted. It may just be that they're completely controlled and the victims that we're dealing with are partially or being attempted to be controlled. And that's a valid theory. because you see some of the decisions that are being made in society and decisions being made in politics.
Well, the whole thing about Trump and Hillary is just, I mean, it's the mainstream, which is kind of, you know, slow on the uptake on a bunch of this stuff. When you hear them shaking their heads and looking in the camera saying, this has never happened before, the president tonight said, this is a kind of an unusual election, being very droll.
Yeah.
It's obvious that it's obvious to everybody now, but nobody has a clue as to what's driving it. And again, this is only a model. This is only a theory because we don't have the data, right?
We don't have the data, and so you can only theorize.
So how do we get the data?
That's going to take an insider. And that's what we're hoping, that if there's a big enough outcry, even by people who aren't targeted individuals, that maybe we would find that one person that will drag it into the Congress, have a congressional hearing, actually get the research that's coming out of the CIA and the NSA, where it, at least we know factually how it's being done, why it's being done. You know, most of this technology, once it's out in the open and people understand, yes, we can manipulate your nervous system. Yes, we can create anger states. We can create depression. We can put voices in your head. Once it's out in the open, it won't work. I mean, the reason it works now is because the person goes running around trying to convince everybody they're under surveillance, gets sent to a psychiatrist, gets diagnosed as delusional, and then their life crumbles away.
Well, so, the only way, I mean, even in my area, the way they've kept it secret for, you know, 70 years is by basically claiming that everybody who thinks they see UFOs or think there's ruins on Mars are nuts.
Well, and that, you know, if you remember when they floated radioactive clouds over New Mexico and Arizona.
I wasn't here, fortunately.
The people that that came around complaining of radiation sickness were told they were crazy, too.
Wow.
And then it wasn't until after they started passing away from radiation illness that Bill Clinton held the Aker hearings and subpoenaed all the data from the various departments that actually were taking part in radiation experiments. And then everybody that the family members that were left, essentially, of the people who had passed away, were offered their condolences. Yes, you know, it was part of national security. We were experimenting on the public, and we're sorry. And that's the same thing that happened with Tuskegee. It's the same thing that happened with Obama's bioethics commissions, which one of those I spoke at. And that was after people in Nicaragua found out that they were being experimented on, with the CDC being complicit. And the bioethics commissions were formed. I think there were six of them. There was a public forum in each one of those meetings. Each forum had over 1,000 people there complaining of mind technology, mind control technology experimentation, and directed energy experimentation. A handful of people complaining about chemtrails. But an overwhelming number of people showed up to those meetings. I spoke at one of them. At the end of the day, the bioethicists that were on the board came to the conclusion that there was no evidence that there was any non-consensual experimentation ongoing. So, you know, it just, unfortunately, until we can get someone ethical in Congress to actually put this on the board, we're dealing with actually turning to the exact people that are doing it to find a solution. So, you know, essentially, you know, the mouse asking the cat to let him have the cheese.
Okay. We're a culture that loves superstars, celebrities, movie stars, you know, musicians, whatever. Do we have specific instances of celebrities that feel that they're being targeted and controlled this way?
None that have actually turned to me or found me online. I mean, I read the magazines and see the.
You mean people. Kim Kardashian is actually doing all that stuff by herself?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to pick on her, but.
I do see some of the articles that it looks like some celebrity. The only one that I know for a fact has came right out and claimed it is Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid and his wife actually claimed that they were being victimized this way in California and actually fled to Canada trying to escape it. And I know his wife still puts videos out on YouTube talking about their targeting.
Wow. So how come others didn't rush to support him if they also were secretly having the same problems?
Probably, because I don't know how they would have gotten a hold of them. I mean, I deal with people who actually find me through my Facebook page, or unfortunately, through a lot of my personal information that's been released online. But.
Sorry, John, we're at the bottom of the hour. Hold it there. My guest this morning is Dr. John Hall. We're discussing the unthinkable. some efforts, some widespread efforts, maybe government, maybe not government, maybe above government. We'll get into what I mean by that when we come back. And you got to think outside the box on this one, because in the middle of the night, our garage doors mysteriously open. We'll be right back. And we are back on the other side of midnight. My guest this morning, Dr. John Hall, and we're discussing psychotronic weapons and mind control. Okay, let me ask three questions sequentially because they're all linked. If you're using a mature technology, so yes, you can control a person's behavior. Can you do it individually, or can you do it in a crowd? Can you target one person? Can you kind of get on their frequency, using our metaphors very, you know, loosely? Or is it like an area thing where you can send a message to a whole bunch of people, but you can't target one, even in a crowd, specifically?
Actually, you can do both, from what I've been told. It can be used as a crowd a manipulator, and it can be honed down to actually being done to an individual.
Okay. And when someone is under control, can it be done so they're not even aware? They hear no voices, they hear no nothing. It's just kind of like, oh, I just have this craving for strawberries and pickles.
Exactly. And that's exactly how it is. People that are being totally controlled don't know they're being controlled.
Oh, my gosh.
They're not hearing it. And a case in point is the girl I wrote the first book about. During her controlled state, you could put a red dot on a white wall and she would see a white wall. You know, as like I told you before, you know, she had drank 5 bottles of water within an hour's time and thought she was on her first. And actually, even me showing the empty bottles in the trash can, she didn't believe.
Wow. So the denial goes along with it because they have no personal recollection and experience. And of course, we all trust our own experience first.
And, you know, that goes along with the early forms of the technology, which was attempts to create Manchurian candidates, you know, where you could,
Well, it sounds to me like this would work perfectly.
Yeah, and it seems, too, based on the shootings that we've had. So
That's the ultimate thing. And then, of course, the ultimate – well, before I get to the ultimate, let me – if you can target both groups and individuals, then you can program an individual, right?
Exactly.
Have you heard the term monarch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was approached by at least two monarchs going back several decades of what I'm doing, and I think one of them had such a pang of conscience after she went through this whole ritual that she basically just disconnected because what she encountered was totally separate from what her programming had prepared her to encounter. Is it possible for people's moral sense to reassert itself over programming, like bad hypnosis?
Yeah, and I think that may be part of the research, too, is finding the Achilles heel of the technology, because it doesn't seem to work on everybody as well as it works on some others. And, yeah, I have seen incidences where I've had victims contact me feeling rage and, you know, feeling like having thoughts that they recognized as not their own. To do violent things, and we're able to circumvent those thoughts and kind of get back on track. And again, that may be one of the things they're looking at is how to make it impenetrable.
You know, I've got to get you on Robin's show because she's, you know, a medical person as well. And this is kind of right up her alley because she's looking at social control. She's looking at the subliminal problems behind the horrors that we're seeing. So I got to connect you with, because you're going to do her show if you want to. And it's much more civilized. It's like, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning and sometimes.
That would be perfect.
I'll bet. Okay, final question on this line of thinking. If you can control groups and you can control people without them knowing it, from all the accounts I have of people who have known him, Trump's current behavior is so at odds with who he used to be at a personal level, at a public level, that it's almost like he was being programmed. And if he is being programmed and all the people following him are programmed, that sounds to me like the ultimate objective of this technology. Put up a Manchurian candidate, make sure there's a resonance between the promoter and the audience, and then, you know, you're off to the races.
No, and certainly that would be a valid use of this, and that is something they
in the most loose term of the word valid, yes.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I think most of us have known for some time that, you know, the president and the Congress really aren't the ones running much of anything. There's a shadow government beneath that actually controls things.
Well, I think Obama tried to tell us that when he redecorated the White House. Remember when he first got in, he said the country was too poor because, of course, we'd just gone through this incredible stock market crash, kind of, you know, depression two. They call it a recession. Come on, it was a depression. It was the second major depression in American history. And he redecorated the White House with that wallpaper, which basically is jail bars. And there's a whole bunch of other symbology. I think he was trying to tell us the presidency is not what you think it is. I'm just here on suffrage, and somebody else is really running things. And again, I'm projecting like mad, but when he said categorically he wasn't going to spend the money and then suddenly turned around and spent the money after a key date, a 19.5 date, that's when I and some of my colleagues started looking very seriously. Is this president trying to tell us through between the lines, basically, it's a fiction. It's a made-up virtual reality. It's not to be believed.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think there's a lot of things that point to it, because nobody does what they're going to say once they get into Congress or government. There's definitely a...
Well, some do. I mean, Bernie Sanders has been doing the same damn thing for 40 years, and he came so close to winning if he hadn't been taken away from him. And the key part, which again, the president alluded to tonight in a very elegant way, that the government you get is the government you get if you keep at it, if you stay involved, if you don't let them get away, if you march, if you protest, if you write, if you basically are community organizers all of your own, so the bad guys can't get away with it, because you basically are, in control.
Well, I don't know. Bernie's supporters at the convention didn't seem too happy with him actually just kind of throwing in the towel completely and putting his endorsement behind Hillary. But, our political system is to a point where I think that they want establishment in control, and it doesn't matter which side it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans kind of showed their true colors when Trump did get in. That, they said, well, we'll support whoever gets in. But then once he actually won, actually kind of started pulling their support away. And to see Republicans willing to let Democrats win, you know, because they disagree with a non-establishment candidate getting in, tells me everything, that it really doesn't matter which side gets in as long as they are establishment people getting in. So.
Hmm.
I guess I would kind of say my lean is more libertarian. Of course, I'm a Texan, so I'm never going to be in favor of gun control, and there's no way you'll convince me that that would change anything, especially after seeing a guy just kill a bunch of people with a knife in Japan.
Hmm.
And somebody well-trained can do as much damage with a knife or a single-action rifle as an automatic.
That's a whole different conversation, John, okay?
Yeah.
Whole different. Okay, in terms of the music industry, oh, by the way, before we continue, if you want to join this, we've got about 20 minutes left in the show. Our Skype number is 505-796-8802, 505-796-8802. Do not call my studio, as someone just did. I don't know why they did. Enterprise Mission is our Skype handle, or The Other Side of Midnight. And if you want to get in, by all means, feel free. And that can go away. Okay. Sorry about that.
So I didn't know you had a studio number. That's why I was wondering when I was hearing the phone ringing there.
Anyway, in terms of the entertainment industry, how much of this is piggybacking on film, television, and music?
Well, those are entertainment venues that actually are used to put subliminal control through, or even change you know, value systems and change belief systems. You know, most of us, if you've noticed, there's a large amount of the population that doesn't focus on anything serious at all anymore. Look at Pokemon Go. I mean, we've got, you know, a large population of 30, 40s and 50 year olds wandering around with their phones looking for Pikachu.
With too much free time on their hands. My gosh.
With too much free time on their hands. So, you know, that's another quick and easy way to, and you don't even need this technology when you go down that route. Once you know what the majority of people watch and listen to, that can be loaded with subliminals. It can be loaded with the digital technology or the frequency technology to alter the EEG into certain emotional states.
Okay, okay. We only have 20 minutes left. Come on, folks, give us a call. You can't not all have questions. I have one hell of a lot. I could do another hour on this, and that's maybe for a future time. Okay, here's the key question. What do we do about it? I hate leaving a show with this doom and gloom. We've established now this is real. So what do we do about it?
Well, there's a lot of people looking at shielding efforts, which that's...
Okay.
I don't think that's going to be within the financial realm of most victims. So mostly what we're doing is looking at ways to actually get a congressional hearing, expose this as much as we can to the non-targeted public, if there is such a thing, but to the people not complaining.
Tell you what, John, can you hang on a second? I want to find out who is so persistent. It may be actually important. Good morning. You're on the other side of midnight. Hello? Oh, that's interesting. That's our first harassing call in months. Here I thought it was some whistleblower saying, how can I get in touch with John? Okay, so, okay, where was I?
So basically, you're asking kind of where do we go from here? And I know we touched a little bit about Faraday cages or anechoic chambers, but the problem with that, like I said, is, you know, when you see an individual, you know, now as a large group, if we wanted to do that, that might work. As an individual, anechoic chamber, that is kind of rough to do. That's going to predispose you.
Yeah, well, you're kind of distorting on Skype, obviously, since they can't do it through the phone. They're trying to do it through Skype. Say that again, please.
Our goals are to get more exposure to the non-targeted public, so we have a louder voice. I think we probably can get a congressional hearing again, like the Church Committee or the Rockefeller Commission. But with just the voices of the targeted individuals alone, I don't think that's strong enough. So most of our activism is kind of aimed at educating the non-targeted public. So we have a little bit of a louder voice when we go to these congressmen and congresswomen to try to get another church committee or another Rockefeller-type commission.
Do we have any statistics on who might be controlled and who is not in terms of percentage of the population?
Surveys have been done through one of the human rights organizations that deals with this. And it really, the only thing that glaringly comes out of it, out of the demographics, is that it's mostly women. And even that is starting to kind of narrow up. But it was mostly, at least initially found to be mostly women between ages of 35 and 50 that lived alone. It was pretty equally distributed among gender and among race. Maybe slightly more whites complaining of being victimized than blacks, but that has leveled out pretty well. To give you an idea of some of the technology, some of the statistics, when people say, well, you know, you have one or two people in every town complaining of hearing voices, that can still be delusional disorder. There are 60 men in Palm Springs, California, that are all hearing the same voice and being attacked.
Oh. During the run-up to the Iraq War, I got to know a psychiatrist who shall remain anomalous, but he was very, very influential and central to the concept of PTSD. So you probably can research, you know, who that is. He was flown by the State Department to Iraq before the war to assess Saddam Hussein's psychological profile. And I remember seeing an interview with Dan Rather where he appeared to be incredibly in control. In other words, he was surrounded by the what was the word they used then? The the kind of coalition, and yet he was supremely kind of ignorant of the extraordinary forces which he faced, and that to me was kind of like a red flag. And I said to my friend, I said, well, how can someone who is basically overwhelmingly confronted by the armies of the world, how is that person able to maintain such a calm demeanor and pretend that it's business as usual? And then later I found out from this psychiatrist friend of mine, who was directly involved to where he had actual information on what was going on in Saddam Hussein's background, that every night Saddam Hussein claimed that Muhammad appeared to him in his bedchambers and instructed him that he would be supreme, he would be fine, he would prevail over his enemies, etc., etc. I'm thinking now that that was manufactured by the CIA.
Yeah, very, very well could be. I have a lot of victims that actually claim to see holograms, people standing in their backyard, but they go out there and they're not actually people, they're holograms or holograms of spaceships. That type of thing. And that technology exists too. It mostly has to be used at night or in a cloudy sky. But a lot of victims claim to see writing in the paint, but they can see it, but you can't. So some of it is actually done with holograms. Some of it's done with brain manipulation. That's definitely possible. And it, especially with our governmental history, we create certain despots that we get along with, and then when we don't get along with them anymore, we blame everything on them and make them the boogeyman. There always has to be a boogeyman to keep the American public, kind of in line, according to them. So,
and all kinds of other governments and populations. I mean, that's the way Earth proceeds right now. So again, what's our defense other than huge public exposure and congressional hearings? If individuals feel they're somehow being the target, what can they individually do that won't get them locked up in the booby hatch?
I'll tell you that what we try to get people to do is recognize the stalking part early on.
You mean being physically followed and that kind of thing?
Physically followed, yeah.
Now, why do they physically stalk them? If they can do this by remote control, can't they just mount cameras and with social media, you can be everywhere and anywhere. You can tap into their iPhones. You can tap into their computers.
The stalking is actually done to pick up biometric parameters. It starts long before you ever know that you're being attacked with anything or having anything to do with.
What do you mean by biometric parameters?
Facial recognition, body recognition, DNA resonance, picking up, your EEG. The way they do that is by shooting two dissimilar frequencies into the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And as one hemisphere entrains one frequency, the other hemisphere the other frequency, your brain actually spits out an interference frequency, and the EEG can be decoded.
So they can't do this from Washington. They have to be physically within, 100 feet or something?
Oh, farther than that. It can be done from quite a ways away.
Then how do you know you're being stalked?
Well, because you can see people following you everywhere you go. It's inundated stalking. It's at work, at home, 24/7. Cars, like you yourself experienced, a car sitting in the parking lot for 42, 48 hours. In the building next to you.
Those guys were so blatant and overt. Again, if this is supposed to be clandestine, if we're trying to control, it sounds to me like this is a ruse to draw us away from the real problem, which is controlling the population seamlessly. And we make a huge deal out of these poor victims, but they're deliberately over the top with it. So we notice them and we don't notice the bigger problem.
Not only that, but it's I wouldn't say it's so much clandestine as that it's being allowed to happen. I mean, those people can be caught and, they have an out. I think they're being allowed to do it. And I think the people that are doing both the stalking and the electronic control, when caught by local law enforcement, possibly, I think have the correct cover story to get out of it.
So why don't we set up a conference, an international conference on mind control, et cetera, and these technologies, and basically Skype it to every police agency in who wants to pick it up?
And there have been attempts at that too. Trust me, there are human rights organizations in Europe, in Germany, in Belgium, in France. I mean, there are groups popping up everywhere. One of the biggest ones is EUCACH, and that's a European group that actually has come out against this. They have been working with the European Union Parliament and have sent letters and had some correspondence with the UN Committee Against Torture, which in a lot of most of these cases is torturing people. So, I mean, there are attempts at doing it that route too. But, I mean, right now, to the most of the public, it's such a crazy sounding thing that it's easy just to say, no, well, that's the crazy tinfoil hat people. And they all think they're being targeted, just like they all thought their emails were being read and their cell phones were being manipulated. Well, as it turns out, they are.
Okay. So. If you feel you're a target, who should you not turn to for help?
I think if you feel you're a target and you're still having active stalking, I think your best bet is to go to your local law enforcement, but complain of the stalking. Let them focus on something that's tangible and they're used to dealing with.
Because in other words, don't rock the boat. Don't change the paradigm. Just say, somebody's after me.
Yeah. Yeah. And let them focus on trying to find out who the stalkers are. Mm-hmm. If they're stalking you along with attempts at using mind control technology, at least you'll have the identities of the people doing it that way. You know, when you have a police officer come that may or may not be all that well educated and you start talking to him about issues that we're talking about tonight, you know, if you're lucky, he's heard one of our radio shows and knows a little bit about it and will at least offer you the fact that he knows what you're talking about, but he can't help you. At worst, you're going to get someone who doesn't know anything about it that's going to offer you a ride to the nearest mental facility.
Okay, we have someone who's called. Who are you, sir or madam, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Biscuit. I'm calling from the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
I'd like to get the guest's take on or about artificial intelligence and information collection. So basically phone tapping, things like that with relation to modern advances about artificial intelligence.
So you're asking basically if this has been so roboticized and automated that it's even possible to do through computer technology?
We only have a couple of minutes. I know. I wanted to drop some keywords because I didn't really want to go into detail. As per phone tapping and collection of information, how do you see artificial intelligence factors into all of that?
I think they're going to try to roboticize or automate as much of it as they can. I know in even the voice-to-skull technology, a lot of that is automated. It's not necessarily people doing it in real time in a lot of cases. They put you on chatter boxes to where you're basically listening to your own thoughts and answering back to your own thoughts and essentially just end up in a loop of conversation with yourself with every now and again a little bit of a change in the loop that kind of keeps you going so you don't ever determine that you're actually answering your own thoughts.
How does this loop communicate or feed off of your own thoughts?
That's actually done by EEG heterodyning. They actually have a spectral array that can be put down around you that will actually pick up the low energy transmissions of your brain once they've actually directed two dissimilar frequencies into the head. That's one of the reasons for the stalking. And if you read Guinea Pigs, I kind of lay this down in a methodical kind of way or try to put it in phases. And most people do recognize the stalking phase. There are some people who just turn up as victims that are hearing voices and being attacked and claim they've never been stalked. I think they probably just didn't notice it. But
right.
Most
would
people...
Would this be a device nearby?
It can be. I'll tell you the one thing we have done research with, because it, according to my sources, it's
mostly. Why don't we have this conversation off the air? Because we're getting to the very end of the program. I'm going to keep you on, caller, so just stay there. When we're off the air, you can exchange contact info with Dr. Hall, and he may be able to help. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so just mute your mic. John, this has been an extraordinary 2 hours. Obviously, I have to have you back because I have a whole range of other questions. I want to monitor the political progress. As I said, if we can get Bernie on the show, and we've got a better than even shot at doing that, I'm going to bring you back on to talk to him about this, because I really don't think he has any clue as to this technology is out there.
Well, and I think he would probably be one of our best ethical choices to
Absolutely.
Actually figure it out, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Based on 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Okay, final thoughts.
Final thoughts for victims that are listening to this. If you think you're being victimized, try to focus on the stalking. Try to keep the reports to your local police to a minimum of anything else that's happening. Stalking, they can help with. Deal with human rights groups like ISAAC.org. Freedom from covert surveillance and harassment. If you need to vent with people who understand you and are going through the same thing before you start trying to convince others.
This is such a serious issue. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. John, thank you so much, and we will definitely be talking to you again. Tomorrow morning on the other side of midnight, we're going to go literally where no one has gone before. Big hint. So until tomorrow... Remember, third star on the left, straight on till morning. Good night, everyone.